Hi everyone, it's Kevin J, the best in since the forest, and you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I talked to Natalie about her upcoming book, which will be launched on the 12th of May, called How to Relocate, which is a self-development book about how to move somewhere you love and lead the life you also love. Natalie did this 6 years ago and now lives by the sea in Devon. And after years of surgery for her son, who has hip dysplasia, it not only helped him heal, but saved Natalie's sanity and marriage. Natalie, welcome to the show. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you so much for having me and such a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you for taking the time, because I know you're very busy as well.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Look, Natalie, let's talk a bit about you before the book and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Let's take it back a bit about your background. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you got to where you are now.
Okay, so I have a PR business. I have a charity, which we touched on, or will touch on. I have two sons. I've got two teenage sons. I've been married for 16 years, and I've got two dogs. And as you said, we live by Devon in Devon by the sea. The beach is at the end of our road, and for me, it's a place where I fit. But I think it took me a long time to find that place. So square peg, round hole. One of those kids that never really quite fitted in, a bit geeky, very shy. And then I suppose my whole relocation is I moved a lot. So when I was 18, I moved from the home counties. I went to a university in Leeds. So that was a big kind of, didn't have an interview, just rocked up on the day, first day. I went from a very small town to a big industrial city, was there for 4 years. Then I moved from Leeds to Tokyo.
Wow, gosh,
I was in England. Yeah,
that's a move in a hot. You like your move, don't you?
yeah. So I moved to Tokyo, literally took a rucksack, got on a plane, and I was an English teacher in central Tokyo for a year. Yeah, so
that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a crazy experience, and it was all, there was no mobile phones, there was no internet, no Facebook, nothing. It was literally long distance calls and fax machines. So some people listening might not know what that is. That's some research. So I then moved from Tokyo to London, where I started my PR career. I lived in north, west, south, east, central London. So my son is 15 tomorrow. So I suppose about 14 and a half years ago, we moved from London back to the home counties where my husband and I were both born. We lived there for about 8 years. And in that time, my second son was born, Lucas, and he was born with hip dysplasia. So we had about 6 years of very intense orthopedic surgery. So essentially he was born without a hip socket. So we had a lot of surgery. He had a lot of surgery from a little baby to actually create a hip socket that was stable. So he had 9 operations before he was 6. He had his legs broken and reposted, and he kind of lived in big, heavy casts for up to 6 months at a time.
Gosh.
Yeah.
The poor soul.
Yeah. He's a very spirited person. He has amazing spirit and resilience, but you've got to, when you kind of, I don't know, 9 months was the first operation, went to sleep, woke up and was in a frog set, in a cast set like a frog for 6 months.
Oh.
And when he was 2, similar thing, but obviously he'd started walking. He was in a cast from nipple to toe with a bar in between his legs. Slightly more challenging because he was heavier by that point. Another operation at 3, 4. And then when he was 6, they told us that his body had decided to grow one side bit longer than the other. So they actually had to break his pelvis and reconstruct it when he was 6.
Oh, dearie me. He's been through so much. He must be really resilient, gosh, to go for all that.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to be Ronaldo. So
good for him. You know,
aim big, which
absolutely
is what I always say to my sons. But so in that time, it was very difficult. I used to work for Cartoon Network, so I had a big global PR job. It was very difficult to sustain something like that. So I actually stopped working for a while, but I get very bored very quickly and I'm a very busy person. So I actually set up DDH UK, which is a charity that has got a global support network. Yeah, so we help people around the world every day. when they're diagnosed, their child is diagnosed, a lot of adults have this condition, I suppose people listening today will be aware of it. And I wrote my first book because there were no books about it. So literally I would be by his bedside, and a doctor once turned up. I thought he was going to see Lucas, but actually he wanted me to sign his book.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of my way of coping. But I think when we got to the point where he had to have this pelvic osteotomy, we were just broken. And we made that decision. I'd effectively kind of stopped officially working whilst I did do all the PR for the charity and the book. And we decided to just have a completely different pace of life. And we put I said to my husband, okay, we move back to London and I go back to a board job, or we go and live by the sea. And we literally put a pin in the map. And here we are.
Brilliant. And you've kind of relocated in...
Best thing we ever did. I mean, I'd relocated. I think in the book I talk about being a relocation junkie. I love it. We actually went to look at a house yesterday. I'm like, well, it's a bit too rural, but I actually really loved that. But I think it took all of those moves for me to find where I belonged, where we belonged. And so that's kind of what the book is about, because it's not always an easy process in terms of not only planning, but also the emotions that come into that kind of big life change.
Of course. And the thing is, you actually relocated at one point to move abroad as well as relocating in the UK.
Yeah.
So you have got that kind of experience behind you about relocating and the emotional transition, as well as everything else, you know, getting used to a different, place. And tell us a bit more about where you lived before, mm-hmm. and the transition of that to where you are now. Talk to us a bit about that.
So where we lived before here, I didn't feel like I fitted, for whatever reason, lots of reasons. It was somewhere I grew up, so there was kind of lots of that kind of stuff. It was very commuter belt. I had this sick kid, but I also had a lot of ambition and drive. And I wasn't a kind of, there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm not a stay-at-home mum. I missed my career, and I kind of also was grieving for the baby I didn't have. So it was an incredibly difficult time, you know, and you think, and you would have people say, he's not got cancer, he's not going to die. And you'd think, well, he's not, but actually I have to keep handing over my tiny baby to, when he's naked, to strangers, and they're going to cut him up and break him. It's actually very, very traumatic. 7 times to theatre, 7 times picking back a child, and you don't know what state they're going to be in. And so I felt very claustrophobic there. I felt there's a lot of kind of keeping up with the Joneses, a lot of pressure, and it just wasn't me. And so I literally we drove, and I've written about it in the book. I remember driving out of the village where we were living when we left. And I can feel it now. I kind of felt 10 years of stress dripping away from my shoulders.
Literally from that move. Just
I can remember. I had a Volkswagen Tiguan. I had Lucas. Lucas is my hippie kid. Lucas was in the car with me. We had the cat sedated, so she was crying. She didn't like the car. And I literally just felt this weight fall away. And it was like, oh God, we've done it. And it was just like, I had grieved a lot for London when I left London. So I worked, as I said, I worked for Cartoon Network. I headed up the Emmy PR for Cartoon Network and CNN. So I had a very full-on career, a huge amount of responsibility. And all of a sudden, I had a toddler and a very sick child. Well, not necessarily sick, but a complex condition that quite often, because I taught myself so much about it, I knew more than the GP, for sure. So you're kind of dealing with those things. And I found it very kind of disheartening to be somewhere where I didn't want to just go and do Pilates or go to John Lewis. You know, I felt very stifled there. Could be the situation, could just be how it was. I literally just did have this feeling of immense relief when we left.
Which is brilliant. Let's go into, why did you write the book for relocating? What was your main motivation or main motivations? There might have been a few reasons.
There were a few reasons. I wanted, so this is my third. My first Cast Life was written with an amazing independent publisher. My second was a hybrid. And then I wanted a big book deal. And this one is with Little Brown. I have an amazing editor. So I won't lie, there was a slight element of ego. So I went to XT yesterday and I went into Waterstones and I said, do you have my book by any chance? And they had it in the stockroom waiting for launch day. And for me, you know, as someone who was told as a teenager in a secondary modern, oh, you're not good enough to be a writer. You should do something else. For me, that was a huge kind of moment of validation. So, yeah, and then really just the whole fact that when COVID set in and all of a sudden people had this chance to reflect. I mean, I had worked from home for a long time. I'd worked from hospital beds and in wards when we were in hospital with Lucas. So I was quite used to that. And I love the challenge of moving somewhere new and finding. I like that element of being anonymous. So for me, being somewhere where you grew up with lots of people who, you know, there would be your teacher from primary school and the doctor that had seen you when you were six and maybe an ex-boyfriend, or it's just like, yeah, really stifling to go somewhere new where no one knew you and you felt like, okay, we can start over, was really, really empowering. And so I felt like, I mean, I love writing as well. I wanted to write another book. I'll probably write more books, but I thought, what can I write that is timely and something that I know about? Because as much as I'd love to write a novel, I find that a lot harder. So, but if I write about something that I know, so I knew about dealing with hip dysplasia, obviously I've worked in PR for a long time, I know about those things. And then I was like, well, I know how to relocate and I've got my experience. And I spoke to the editor, put together a full proposal with all the different elements, and they said yes.
The big yes.
Yes, I know. Yeah. It's the email. You're like, oh, yeah. It comes in and you get the yes.
Brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Natalie, let's talk a bit more in detail about relocating. How easy really is it?
It's not. There you go.
That's the best answer. I hear it, yeah. Relocating is like, I think, gosh, that's a big one, isn't it? Just setting up and, you know, you're settled somewhere in life and then all of a sudden you're thinking, do you know what? I just want to complete change. And there might be various reasons why people do it.
Yeah.
It could be career, family. It could be a number of things. But yeah, I mean, how easy is it?
Well, I suppose when you're 18 and you're going to university, that's pretty easy. That was just a case of, I've got my place, I'm going, pack a suitcase, take a duvet, go and drink cider in the student union. That was quite easy. And actually going to Japan as well, I went for an interview for a job. They gave me the job, set up the visas, got on a plane and off I went. I think when it becomes more tricky is when you've got a family. It's not just you. So I think that I talk a lot about this in the book. There's the practical element, but this isn't a book of checklists. I don't tell you, we cover how to pack your boxes and, you know, put certain things in a wheelie suitcase so you've got access and you've got your pants when you need them. But it's not that kind of checklist book. It goes a lot deeper. And you've got all the other impacts. So we have children, and our move was very strategic, as in they were still at primary school, but because of what Lucas had been through, we needed to repeat a year at school. So we had to find a school where we could do that because he'd missed so much. But I was also very aware that my other son was 9, and what was the impact of that on him? How was he going to make new friends? You've then also got your friendships, you've got extended family. So you're dealing with all of that stuff, as well as, well, where are we going? The thing with me is I'm a very determined person. I was like, I'm going. I've always been the same. Okay, well, I'm going to London. I'll get a job in London. I'm going here. I'll do this. It's just the way that I'm made. So I suppose there was a very big practical element when it was Devon. Okay, where's the school? Where can we live in terms of that school? But actually navigating relationships, other people, my husband's business, all of those things was far trickier. And I think everyone who reads the book, and I think you can read it even if you're just moving from one town to another, you've still got to, as with so many things in life, you've got to have a level of consideration and empathy for other people, but you cannot let those feelings cloud what you want to do. And I think that's the biggest thing. Yes, there's logistics. So, for example, Debbie, who's in the book, talks about when she relocated to Canada for her husband's job. That was a massive move. Selling somewhere here, moving to Canada, then moving somewhere else in Canada, adapting to the severe freezingness of Canada in the winter. So every relocation is going to be difficult or different. I quite enjoyed it, although it was hard. It wasn't as hard as watching my son go through horrific surgery time and time again. And I think that the one thing that you want to take from a book, whatever you're reading, is that kind of idea that it's possible. And I think COVID has actually made these changes possible. We've got the Great Resignation. We've got people relocating. So my husband's a surveyor. He's never been busier. And a big percentage of people that come to him are relocating from other places. Obviously, the Southwest is a draw. And so we have those options. But it does... And it's... So I'm also a coach. I'm an accredited coach. So there is an element of the book that is... Okay, I'll walk with you through this process. I'm not telling you, I'm just giving you suggestions of how to make this easier. And especially if you're not, I really wanted to do it. And I suppose some people may be having to do it. Maybe their partner's got a job or they're relocating numerous times because they're in the military. So there's going to be lots of different situations. Maybe they're downsizing, maybe they've bereaved. There's all kinds of different things, and I'm sure I've missed certain scenarios, but I've tried to make it as kind of thorough as possible.
Have you come across domestic violence situations where people had to relocate? Yeah. And that's a bit of a tricky one, and it's a very complex situation. But
And it's in there. Yeah, it's in there.
That's brilliant.
I've talked about it. I've talked about, you know, you can move for love. And I have lots of people that are who commented in the book with permission. I mean, it's got a lot of friends. So I talk about this kind of patchwork of my life is very global because of all the places I've lived in. And I do live a lot online, especially through the HIP work. I've got hippie mums that I know in Canada and America and Japan and Australia. So I've taken their information. And whilst we've got people in the book who talked about moving for love, we've also got people who have talked about moving to get away. So I have covered that as well,
which is brilliant. You know, it's good. That is, it's major. I've heard about that in the past. I've come across a situation when talking to people where relocating is, you know, people, it's, I think it's always useful for people to have that kind of knowledge. The book, is it the kind of book where you can just kind of pick it up, read it, and you might not be doing an immediate move? It could be something you're preparing yourself for psychologically and generally for the future, maybe 2-3 years time, or you're not sure, you want to find out more about it. Is it that
kind
of thing?
I talk about kind of the people that are dreaming of doing it. And I don't think there's another book out there that's like this. I'm sure all authors say that. There's other things, but this one is like, and I talk about it in the introduction. I've not read the book. I've not read any of my books, actually. So I'm kind of racking my brain to when I wrote it a year ago. But I talk about, you know, if you're thinking about it, you spent all your time on Rightmove, and say you're kind of constantly looking in South Wales for this picturesque piece of land where you're going to spend the rest of your life, or maybe you want to make the move to the city because you've lived where you lived where you grew up. It might be people that are actually going through it at the moment, but also it could be for someone. We talked about my dad before coming on air, and he's relocated and he's now in a home. And he's quite funny because he said, "I need to read this about my move." I'm like, okay, you know, it's all there, but it's not a kind of stuffy book. And I say to people, make it your own. I encourage people to have a notebook or a journal as they're reading it, so they can note down things as they're thinking. And I've given exercises, things to reflect on, things to think about. Is it something that you've got to do, you want to do, you feel like people won't let you do? And I think everyone who reads it will have a different experience and takeaway. But as I say with all of my books, you know, I'm the queen of post-its, get your post-its out, mark the bits that are for you. And it may be that maybe you're a parent and you want the stuff about school, and there's a whole chapter about school. There's a whole chapter about, there's one about school. There's one about making new friends. So as well as having one about how to tell people you're going, there's also one about how you make new friends, how you network about jobs, how you get to know where you're going to live. Some people will say, we never went. So Debbie in Canada was like, we never went. We just turned up in Canada. That was it.
Oh.
Whereas, yeah, because they had no option. It was a corporate move. She had three young sons.
Right.
They just turned up. Where some people, we came quite a lot. To do recces, check out the boys' school, look at the shops, all those kind of things. So, for example, we've ended up for the third time living near a school. It drives me insane. School hours, parking drives me insane. So check those things out before you do it. Go there in the dark. Go in these places out of season. So where I live, which is near Tynmouth, which I love, it's a beautiful beach. And in the summer, it's busy. In the winter, it's desolate. I love that. It's quiet. It's just me and my dogs. There's people swimming. But if you are someone who really thrives on being busy, is that going to be right for you? Because I also cover what happens when it doesn't work. And I think the thing that I've learned is that I was always going to make this work. That wasn't an option for me. But it's not something to feel ashamed for. We learn from all of these things. Every single situation we come into, we learn. So in the book, it's saying, you know, you did it. Be proud that you had the strength and the courage to make that change. Admitting it's wrong isn't a sin. It's just, okay, this isn't the right place. You don't need to stay where you're miserable. And I think, thinking about it now on reflection, I was so miserable where I was, I needed to be somewhere different. And so that was a big driver for me.
Which is brilliant. I think it's brilliant that you know, you've kind of got into a routine of being able to psychologically, you know, move from place to place, you know. Yeah. What do you think it is that stops people from making the big move?
Fear. I think there's a massive amount of fear. What are people going to think? What if it doesn't work? What if I don't like it? What if we can't afford a house? What if the kids don't like the school? What if I don't make any friends? It's the unknown, isn't it? So there is that big element of preparation. Go, go. I think I say go, go, and go again and again. But it's fear. You know, what will my brother think? What will my aunt think? What will my best friend think? Well, the world has shrunk. So we now have Zoom, Teams, mobile phones, social media. And my thing is, you get one life. And it is so precious. And what dealing with my son's condition showed me was, you don't know what's coming. One day I'm just there with my baby and my toddler doing, you know, baby yoga and baby chinos in Starbucks. And the next minute I'm told, well, he's got a chronic condition. We're going to be breaking him for the next 7 years. I didn't see that coming, and the impact was huge. So now I just think, well, what's the worst that can happen?
It kind of conditions you in a way, isn't it? You know, when you go through something that's life-changing and traumatic and, mm-hmm. you know, because you've been, that's a lot to go through, absolutely, like, you know, any parent would find. And I think the brain kind of goes to a different place, you know, when they're hit with, you know, some kind of information that will change, you know, how things are, the situation and everything like that. Mm. And then in a way, it kind of conditions you to taking a bit more risk. Would that make sense? It kind of think, well, you know what? I've done this now and I've done that and this happened and I dealt with it. I dealt with it and I found things something challenging, but I found solutions around it. And then when you start thinking of things like, you know, relocating and doing this and maybe changing jobs, it becomes a little bit less daunting. Would that be right, do you think?
Yeah, I think that again is, so we spoke before and I started a new job last year and I was dealing with, my dad has dementia, very difficult situation. The most difficult thing for me was to admit that actually I really love being self-employed and I'm very much a free spirit. But having to admit, you know, I wrote something on Facebook, was like, I know that job sounded great, but actually it wasn't for me. That was very tough. But staying stuck is really, really paralyzing and demoralizing. And I think it's so bad for your mental health. And I'm a big advocate for that. If you stay stuck and you feel obliged to be somewhere or to be doing something, you don't only become kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily depressed. I think I was probably, but it was a multitude of things at the time that were going on. But actually, you become resentful. And that can be so toxic. It's like, well, why this? Why do I have to deal with this? Why do I have to go there? Why do we have to do that? And it's like, oh, it's such a... So when that blanket came off, I think it was partly because of that. I think they're generally considered risks that I make. Not really so much knee-jerk as in, I'll just go. I did when I was younger. I'm just going to go to Tokyo. Literally just decided that that was it. I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to go to a different job. I'm just going to do this. But I think when you've got kids and you've got businesses and those things to consider, it does have to be a lot more planned. And just thinking a bit further ahead. And yeah, so I think I like the thrill of change, definitely. But again, what's going to work for you and your family, or if you're, I don't know, if you've got divorced or maybe you've lost a partner, I cover that in the book as well. So it's in a very kind of, it's a combination of, I'm cheerleading you on to do it, go on, do it, it's really great. I love living by the beach, it's changed my life, I really love it. But also I'm saying, but it's okay if you're not ready. So there's kind of like that encourager, cheerleader, but also a friend. I like to think it sounds like I'm talking to you saying, it's fine if you're not ready, but you can make it a reality if you have these things in place.
We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Natalie, you mentioned that one of the reasons for people not relocating can be fear. How do people, in your experience, deal with that element?
They stay stuck where they are, so they don't address it. My husband calls it epiphany, but I suppose it was about 18 months ago. I read Glennon Doyle's Untamed. It's such an amazing book. It's so impactful. I really, yeah, it's probably the best book I've ever read. And she talks about the fact that every time we don't disappoint them, we disappoint ourselves. That was life changing for me. That one line. Okay, so I'm going to keep you happy by doing this, but actually I'm going to make myself miserable by doing it. She was talking about someone getting married, so she didn't want to disappoint the people coming to the wedding. So she went through with the wedding and married someone she didn't want to be with, and she disappointed herself. And you're like, oh gosh, I don't think there's always, I don't mean to kind of be disrespectful for people who are stuck in difficult situations, because I do understand, you know, I've been in situations where I had a very controlling, horrible boyfriend and I was kept in that. So to relocate that time was much harder and to get away. So I appreciate that. But I think that you have that fear and it's only your personal circumstances. And I think they're so wide ranging at the moment. And I think we don't always see, and I think I talk about this in the book, we kind of look at social media and we see these very perfect lives people have created to say, oh, this is great and this is it. But actually the reality is we don't know what someone else is living through or dealing with. So fear can keep us stuck, but I guess it can also keep us safe.
Yes, that's kind of fight or flight mode we tend to go into, yes. Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely that.
You know, so, you know, we kind of go with the intuition and reflex, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
In that kind of situation, you know. I mean, if someone's listening, what first steps should they take to start making their dream move a reality?
Read my book.
That's a good answer, isn't it? I should see that one coming.
So that would be one thing, but I would just start. It's really simple things, and it depends how you work. So some people, and I talk about this in the book, is create a vision board. You know, what do you want? Because we talk about your whole life. What do you want your life to look like? Do you want to be somewhere busy and vibrant and close to theatre and galleries and pubs and bars and clubs, which is certainly something I wanted when I was 24. Now I'm ready to go to bed at 8:30. And, you know, I just don't want to do that. I want to be near the beach. I love walking on the beach with my dogs. I get in the water. It's a very different way of being. So it's having that. I think also, why do you want to go? Because relocating is not going to make you a different person. You're still going to be taking your anxiety or your fear or your worry or your relationship, or, you know, you're still going to have that. But actually, what would moving change for you? So for me, it gave me freedom. It gave me breathing space. It gave us a chance to heal. In the past, it gave me excitement. It gave me university life. It gave me the chance to go to Japan and be dressed like a geisha and, you know, go and do crazy things in Tokyo. So there's always that thing, why do you want to go? Because going isn't going to, you're still going to essentially take your baggage with you. You're going to take yourself with you. What is it going to change? Practical things, keep an eye on Rightmove. I mean, as we're talking today, May 2022, the housing market, my husband's a surveyor, housing market is fast. So property goes very, very quickly. If you need to move fast, you've got to be thing. Are you going to keep your house? Are you renting? Do you need to buy somewhere? So there's all those considerations. How much is it going to cost? Again, this is all in the book. So there are those kind of more structured elements to the book where I give you that kind of information. And how much do you want it? So I talk about this a lot in my business, with my coaching clients, with my kids. How much do you want this? I wanted to go so much, I was going to make it happen. And it wasn't a popular choice with everybody by any means. But I was going to make it happen. I was going to make it a success. And it has been, but it was hard work. So I think it's kind of, I think one of the key things, though, it's not a magic wand. It's not like a magic wand to happy ever after. It can change things, but I think you do have to be mindful about that.
Of course, yeah. No, it's a massive thing, isn't it? It's a massive
change it is. In life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that kind of leads me nicely to the next question. I mean, you know, what if someone moves quite far away and mm-hmm. they don't like it? Which is, I suppose, it's one of the fears, isn't it? That's one of the kind of, and that's what makes either hinders people from moving. Or they move and they're like, oh, dear. I mean, you know, I mean, how do you deal with someone like that? Have you spoken to anyone that's had to do that?
Yeah, I know people who have done it and they've often go back to where they were. So they've gone back to where they were. I think don't be ashamed of it. It's like everything. We all make mistakes. I remember Tokyo was hard and it was difficult. I was 22. I was just out of university. The culture was very, very different. I didn't particularly enjoy it at the time. I was very homesick, but it was an amazing experience. And I was quite honest. I didn't really like it, but it was good for me at that point in my life. I think the more we hide things, if you feel ashamed and a bit stupid, it's like me with a job. I hated it. And I had to admit to my husband on Christmas Day, I just don't like that dog. And I think if you can get over that thing, it's just, yes, it probably costs a lot of money, but nothing's worth being unhappy. Also, pick apart why don't you like it? Because if it's week one and it's your mates, and I talk about this, your mates from work are in the pub and you're sitting on your own and you haven't unpacked the boxes, well, you might feel a bit sorry for yourself. So give it a bit of time. Enjoy getting to know where you are. Why isn't it you're liking it? Are you in a long-distance relationship? Are the kids unsettled? Have you gone through a divorce and you've gone on your own? Try and kind of pick those things apart. And is it something that can be fixed? And if not here, where are you going to go? You know, have you got a cycle of, I just liked moving, I'm ready to move again, same area, I'm not relocating, but we like moving house. So 3 years in a house is about enough for us. And we've been here for nearly six. But where else would you go? What is it the heart of it that's missing? So that's, you know, that's slightly getting a bit deep, but I think looking at those things, and it's just a mistake. I mean, what's the worst? I always say to my kids, what's the worst that can happen? No one's going to die. You know, I'm not going to shout at you. You're not going to get in trouble. So it's truth, isn't it? Going, actually, I don't like this. After all, back on right move, go back on right move. And I do say, when we moved here, and again, I'm adamant this was going to work. This is where we were going to be. And we do love it. It is just amazing being here. But we rented for a while, only 6 months where we sold our house where we were, and we got a bit of a feel, okay, well, we rented on a main road. We knew that was too noisy, so we're glad we didn't buy that house. Now we live near a school, we shouldn't have bought this house. But every step of the way is a learning curve for all of us. So I would say don't say stuck. It's like the wrong boyfriend, the wrong school, the wrong pair of shoes. It's all changeable stuff. And I think we fear being judged. We make this, I certainly do. You know, if you see me on social media, I make this big deal about things all the time and I'm going to do this. And sometimes I have to go, you know, I made a mistake. But if you don't know, you don't try. And I would rather live knowing it hadn't worked than regretting it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the worst thing that anyone could go through, isn't it?
Just the regret. You think, if only I'd done that.
Losing that opportunity and as well, and kind of it might be a perfect timing where actually this is the right time to do this right now. If we don't do this, we're never going to do it.
I remember turning down an opportunity for a transfer. I worked at Discovery Channel, a transfer for go to Washington for a year, I think it was, and I didn't take it. And I was like, but you know, now I have this life, I have my sons, I have my husband. It's all of those things. But it's the things, if you've got the opportunity to try it, you know, if it's water you love and you need to be by water, it's that for me has kind of been very transformational. Because even, you know, if I've had a really hard day at work or I'm really tired, I will just get the dog and we will either go to the beach then or it'll jump in the car and walk on the beach in Tynmouth. I've gone down there at 5-6 o'clock at night and seals have swum along with me.
That's magical, isn't it? That's brilliant.
Amazing.
That's brilliant.
I just saw his little eyes and I was just like really amazing. And I drive along the coast road every morning to take the boys to school. And I do, you know, I'm not saying bad things don't happen. I get stressed, there's lots of work. Lucas may need more surgery. There's not those things, but actually I feel like I've found my place in the world and it's here. And that then gives me the headspace to do my books and my business and bring up my children and keep my marriage together and love my dog.
Which is brilliant. Yeah. I didn't know you could get seals on the coast either.
Oh my God, it's amazing. So it was literally one evening, it was last February, and I knew there were seals around. Usually they're in Brixham. They're not in Tynmouth where we live. Actually, it was in Sheldon, the other side of the water. And I was walking along and I felt something and I looked in the sea and there was just this pair of eyes. I've got it on my phone and it was just, you're not really meant to go near them. So I know all that stuff. And I walked and it just was swimming along next to me. It was just totally unreal. And I thought I never would have had that had I not been here.
Brilliant. I think it's brilliant. Does relocating change you as a person?
I think for me, yes, it gave me a lot of experiences in my life. I'm a fiercely independent person and it gave me the chance because I was happy to go off to university, go and live in Tokyo, move around London, go back to where I grew up, and then come here. It gives you a lot of experience. You meet a lot of different people. But for me, it's the ability to heal after what was extremely traumatic 7 years for us as a family and with my son. Find a school where he's gone from being a child who literally would not go to school to a child who now is in the football team, the rugby team, the cricket team. You know, to see that difference, and to feel like you can breathe again. So for me, yes, I think it helped me get better from that feeling of being very broken, and for us to reunite as a family. And it makes you much stronger, actually, because it's like, you know, we're the four amigos, it's just us down here, which is fine because we have our family, we have ways of, you know, mobile, you still have that. But I think if you live somewhere you feel like you don't fit or you don't belong, that is really destructive. It was extremely destructive for me. And I like the fact that I know people, but I wasn't with them at school. You know, I didn't sit next to them in the doctor's. It's just like, oh, for me, that was very, very claustrophobic. Whereas here, it's like, I know people, we've got friends here, I've got lovely friends at school, people we see in the coffee shop. It's great, but there's still that element of being anonymous. And for me, that's really, really important.
Which is brilliant. At the same time, you can always, you know, and you mentioned it earlier with Zoom and Microsoft Teams, et cetera, you can keep in touch with people quite easily and FaceTime on the phone. They can come and visit you in the year. You go back there and see them. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that's the end of it, basically.
No, and if you look at COVID, people in the same town weren't allowed to see each other. But again, I think it's like this fear, well, if they go, they're not here. So yes, you have to make more, you know, you have to make more of an effort sometimes because you're not going to bump into them at school gates or in the gym. And naturally, some things will fall apart, but the relationships, the friendships, the family that really matter, that stays. And things like Facebook, people followed. You know, I'm very quite open about everything that happened with Lucas, because naturally, we don't do it so much anymore with him. He's not like the face of hip dysplasia anymore. We stopped when he was about six. I felt like I had Munchausen's or something. So I was like, okay, we don't do that. But there's still an element of he's survived all these things and he's a real inspiration to kids all over the world because they can see you might be in a cast now, but it's not forever. But I forgot what I was saying. But yeah, I think that you still have those people. They can see where you are. So my grandma's 89, I think. And she uses Facebook, so she knows what the beach looks like. She's in the seal. My sister, you know, is back in London, but she knows what's going on. So you make it. And again, it's that thing, how much do you want it to make it work?
Absolutely.
You do it because that's what you want to do.
We have a few minutes left. Where would be the ideal place or maybe country to relocate to? Is there another place? I know you love where you are.
I do love where I am.
I know. But let's say, let's take us away from that. Let's say you didn't live there. You were back in London. Where would you want to live? And you never knew about the place where you live at right now. Where would you live? Would you live in the UK? Would you live abroad? Where would it be?
I've always wanted to live in New York. And my ideal thing is that I would have, we don't have a view. The sea's one road away from us. So I would have a house in Devon with a view. And I would have an apartment in New York. And maybe a little house in London as well. But that's just greedy. But also, I tell you, the other thing, I love Cornwall. So a very kind of, I love Foy in Cornwall. I love that. I really, for me, realistically, it's near the sea because that's what gives me energy, but it also gives me a lot of peace. And I'll just grab my coffee and go and sit on the beach and breathe. It's like yoga, meditation, and a vodka all rolled into one.
And just finally, your top three tips for moving away.
To move away, investigate and do your research, work out why you want to go, and don't listen to the doubts and don't listen to the doubters,
the naysayers, as they say.
People will say, oh, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't go there. But are they in your house? Are they in your head when you close the door at night thinking, I hate it here? I feel miserable. I don't fit in the clique. I want to get a different job. I want to be a farmer. You know, it's your life. And I know that's not always been a popular choice of mine, but you get one life and you need to live it for you and, you know, your family. And that was very much my thing, is that we came here with our kids, and they've had a really maybe slightly more innocent life and childhood than they would have had back where we used to live. I've kind of prolonged my time with them. And they'll have great memories because they've grown up by the sea, and we've spent every Christmas day, we go to the beach.
That's fantastic.
Rain or shine, horses on the beach, people dressed up as carrots, coffee on the beach, beer on the beach. Life is a beach.
Living the dream. Yeah. Living the dream.
It could be a bit warmer, but still, you can wear a coat. Yeah. I would just say, as Nike says, just do it.
Where can people find your book to purchase?
So it's on Amazon. It's going to be in selected Waterstones. It'll hopefully be in independent bookshops. It's on Waterstones website. It is on websites all over the world, Foyles, Barnes & Noble. And you can find me there's not many Natalie Trices. You can find me talking about it on Insta, LinkedIn. Yeah.
Brilliant. Where can people find you on Instagram if they want to get in touch?
It's just Natalie Trice PR, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Yeah. Natalie, look, thanks for your time today. It's been great.
No, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been great talking to you. And I just hope people find the kind of peace and happiness that I have found by moving to the sea.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.